Today, I'm going to break down how to get more dynasty trades done. I've done this video in the past, did it once last year. I did it earlier this year. Today, we're going to go through four of my dynasty rosters and we're going to workshop some moves. We're going to talk about my thought process behind sending offers. We are again going to review the four tips to get more deals done because that is very important. We're going to review the fundamentals. For those of you guys that are struggling to get dynasty trades done this time of year, this should really, really help you guys out and make you, you know, able to improve your dynasty rosters, whatever your goal is, whether it's rebuilding, contending, tearing things down, turning your monster into a Thanos, whatever your goal is, we should be able to help you get more trades done today. So today, let's get it kicked off with the four tips to get more deals done. Tip number one, and I'm just going to skim through these because I did go through them in the last video, and me and Danny both did seven tips last year that are still all very relevant, very macro-based videos. I'll link that one down below in the description. Tip number one is help your league mate. When you're sending out an offer, you need to put yourself in their shoes. Every dynasty manager knows exactly what it feels like to get a bad trade offer in their DMs, in their inbox. So what you need to do when you send out a trade offer is remember that your league mate is just like you. When they get a trade offer, the only thing they're thinking is, does this help my team? They could care less about helping your team. They're not going to look at it through the lens of your roster. So if you are solely focused on yourself and being selfish about this, thinking, I need a running back, I don't care what my league mate wants, you're going to get less deals done. So what you need to do is look at their roster, evaluate their needs, think about what they would want to receive in a deal. If they're a rebuilding team, you probably want to send them draft picks or young players. If they're a contending team, you probably want to send them productive assets. So keep that in mind. That is the number one most important piece of advice to getting more trades done, is send out offers that if you were in their position, you would ideally want to send out. And that leads into number two, make sure you're sending good trade offers that are actually fair. And we have a trade calculator, which I'll detail in a second, to help you realize if it's fair or if it's not fair. And ideally, this is my rule of thumb. If I'm sending out an initial offer, people think initial offers need to be these like complete fleece deals. Oh, we can always negotiate later. No. Send out ideally 10 to 20% more on your initial offer than you think you should send out. Because when you send out offers like that, where you feel like you're giving up something, that gets the other manager thinking that you are serious about making a deal. There are five types of trade offers. Fleece deals in either direction are two of those types. You're sending out a deal where you're getting great players in return for garbage. Never send these offers. Nobody wants to deal with people who send those offers. Fleece deals in reverse, where you're getting offers of your great players for their garbage. This just pisses you off. You don't want to send out offers to that player in the future, and they'll have the same thought process too. Well, you can always counter the deal. Send out fair offers. The middle types of trade offers are the best ones. Number two, deals that you're winning the deal, but it's relatively fair. Number four, deals the other person wins. That's usually the counter to deal number two. You might send out an offer where you're slightly winning. They might send an offer back where they're slightly winning. The goal is to get to deals number three that are mutually beneficial. In your gut, you know you're giving up something good. In their gut, they know they're giving up something good. These offers, like I said, are usually 10, maybe 20% more than you ideally want to pay for that player or for that asset, but they usually show up as you slightly win or they slightly win or fair trade offer in our trade calculator. So again, make sure you're sending out good offers. Do not send fleece deals. It just results in people not wanting to trade for you. 99% of the time, people that are in the comments complaining that they never get deals done, it's because they're sending out absolute dog shit offers. Number three, send follow-up messages. It is not enough to get as many trades done as Danny and I get done. I promise you there's not a duo of YouTubers that get more dynasty trades done than the two of us. We've done some 50 odd trades combined between the two of us in the last 3 to 4 months. We are in a lot of leagues, yes, but we get a lot of trades done because we are in working the phones. Send follow-up messages. Be honest and explain your thought process. Be transparent with your league mate. I often give my league mate rationale for the offer that I sent in addition to the offer. So it's not enough to just send the offer. It builds trust to say, hey, this is where I'm coming from. And I can even showcase that I understand their perspective in my offer. Let's say I'm a contending team and I'm looking to buy a guy like Devon Achane from a rebuilding team. I might offer them, let's say my mid to late projected 27 first, my mid to late projected 27 second, and my mid to late projected 28 first. And I might say, hey, I'm looking to buy production. I'm looking to buy Devon Achane. I'm not sure if you're looking to tear things down. Let me know what you think. that communicates to that person that I'm, first of all, I sent a fair offer. That's about fair market value for Devon Achan. Second of all, I'm communicating that I want to make sure that I'm helping them achieve their goals, and I don't actually know what their goals are. It's important to be super honest, super transparent. Let them know how you view their team, because this gives them an indication or an idea that I view their team as a potential rebuilder. And it might take them, you know, they might not look at the app. They might have kids, they might have lives, they might have jobs, whatever. They might look at their team and go, oh, actually, I probably can't compete. This is a pretty good offer for a competitive asset of mine. And you might spark a rebuild for that person. And that's not necessarily your goal, but it does give them an indication or an insight to their team. And if they say, hey, no worry, like if they say, no way, I'm trying to compete again, but thanks for the offer, because again, you sent a fair offer in that case, you just say, no worries, figured I'd inquire, something to that effect, let me know if anything changes, etc. The goal here is to use these strategy points, these first three, to get more deals done. It is a numbers game. I send out hundreds of offers every offseason. I probably get 20% of the deals done. You might look at your league mates team and think it stinks and that you'd rebuild, but they might not be aware of that. They might not be aware of the other teams in the league and think they can compete. So that's always the risk that you run, is that you're dealing with other people you can't predict or control their behavior. If you think they should compete or you think they should rebuild, they might not be of that opinion. So all you can do is kind of put your best foot forward, send out your best offer, send out your best rationale, be transparent, be honest. And oftentimes too, it'll sometimes result in you doing a completely different deal. Maybe that's my initial offer and I end up buying a purely competitive asset off of that person, or I end up buying a quarterback instead of a running back off that person, whatever the case is. And the other part of this, tip number four, is use our free tools. Yes, this is a plug, but I'm going to show you all of them throughout this video and why our free tools on flockfantasy.com are the best way to get more trades done. First of all, this is the portfolio manager. If you're in one league, you'll only see one. I'm in a lot of fantasy leagues, so you obviously see that I'm in a lot. You can see your entire portfolio's percentile. You can sort by creator if you are a paid subscriber, and you can sort by my specific rankings, and you can see, because it's my portfolio, obviously I'd probably rank my own portfolio higher. And you can sort by dynasty. You can sort by rebuilding, which is going to increase value on young players and picks. You can sort by contender, which actually directly pulls underdog ADP for contending rankings for redraft. But you can essentially click in, and this is we're going to go through a couple of my teams today. Too Lazy to Set Lineups is one of them. You can click into your team, you can see exactly where you stack up in the power rankings, how you stack up at each position, number four at running at quarterback, eight at running back, five at wide receiver, and so on. And again, you can sort within this tab of contending rankings, rebuilding rankings, and so on. So this team that I have is what we call on this channel a house money team. Essentially just means that my team could compete if things break right, but probably is more likely a rebuilding team, which is why I'm number three in rebuilding rankings, number three overall in dynasty. So this team, I actually, it's called Too Lazy to Set Lineups, and I'm recording this actually a few days before I edit on purpose, because during the video, I'm going to basically workshop some trades for myself, and then if I get a deal done, you guys will hear a ding, and you'll see the deal on the screen. So that's why I'm recording this a couple days in advance. Of course, you guys might be in some of these leagues. A lot of them are listener leagues, so that'll be a fun Easter egg if I send you a trade offer in this video. This team is a best ball league, super flex, PPR, half tight end premium, start 11, three wide receiver start, there's big play bonuses, and the rookie draft just happened. So it just finished this morning. As I make picks and as I make trades, I'll definitely throw them throughout, but essentially my haul in the rookie draft was at 106, I was able to take Mekhi Lemon. So I gave up Matthew Golden and effectively Nicholas Singleton, because it was my 206 in the draft, to go and get Ty Simpson at the 111, and in return, I did receive his third round pick, which was the 307. So I got Damon Claiborne and Ty Simpson for Matthew Golden and Nicholas Singleton. The reason I made this trade, as you can see with my team on the screen here, I didn't have a third quarterback. In best ball leagues, I do like to have a stronger third quarterback than I do in regular managed dynasty leagues. And I thought Ty Simpson at 111 was a half decent value, even though I'm not super big on Ty Simpson. There's, of course, always the world in which I can be wrong. And given the build that I have, where it's like a maybe I can compete, but not really, yeah, Ty Simpson does fit that build, because he's not going to be productive right away, but he might be productive year two, year three of his career. When I look at this team, if I was evaluating this team for your dynasty decisions, which, of course, we evaluate teams every Friday. If you guys want a Dynasty Decisions 2.0, you can get a free one by signing up for an annual mother flocker right now. On the screen right now, you should be able to see what a Dynasty Decisions 2.0 looks like. We essentially do exactly what I'm doing right now. We look at your team, we evaluate it. Where's your window? What moves can you make? And we send that to you after the fact. We live workshop it for about 5 to 10 minutes on stream. And then within the calendar week, we will send you your Dynasty Decisions 2.0 with your three biggest moves to make and your plan of action with a whole kind of visual of what your team looks like. So if that interests you, you can get one for free with an annual mother flocker. And of course, you'll get access to all the tools as well. On the screen, you guys can see my team. Trevion Henderson, Tootin, Lemon, Harrison, Worthy, you know, Warren, Fannin, Purdy, Simpson. These guys are all young players. They fit my build. There's two players on my team and then some fodder that I'll talk about in a second that don't really fit my build because I'm not looking to compete right away. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Jefferson, who are on the, let's call it the tail end of their primes. Patrick Mahomes, 30 years old. Sure, he's going to be productive for a very long time still. However, he's a 30-year-old quarterback. He's not going to increase in value anymore. He's also coming off of a knee injury, which actually may work to my benefit a little bit if I'm not trying to be competitive right away. Justin Jefferson, 27-year-old wide receiver, not coming off of the best season when you look at the rest of his career. Obviously, he was a top 5 receiver for most of his career, and then wide receiver 32 in points per game last season, but still highly valued in Dynasty. If he has another bad season or another non-Justin Jefferson-like season, it's possible he could lose some more value. So when I look at my team, I think there's a couple moves to be made, but the best advice I would have for somebody in this position is to not go crazy and try and win with a team like this. Because yes, my team is decent. Yes, my team could maybe compete if things break right. But using the contending tab on the site indicates to me that in underdog value, my team is basically 8th in the league. And when you're not top 3 to 4, especially when there's a team like Marcos that's a juggernaut that has Gibbs and Puka and Pickens and Taylor and all these types of guys, reasonably, I probably can't compete with a team like that, even if things broke right for me. So my course of action, the best advice I would give to somebody in this position is to shed point production of guys that are risky, of guys that maybe aren't going to appreciate any more in value, and get younger. This is the perfect type of team, in my opinion, to go after a guy like Malik Nabers and use Justin Jefferson to get younger into Malik Nabers. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to Garrett's team, who's a strong contender in Dynasty value. And I know I've been in leagues with Garrett before. I'm assuming he understands how to, you know, push the chips in and get more production and stuff. So Malik Nabers and Justin Jefferson to me is actually essentially a wash. Like, I prefer Malik Nabers to Justin Jefferson. I would be willing to pay a small plus on top of Justin Jefferson. So what I'm going to do is go over to our trade calculator, as you guys can see here. And this trade calculator, if you load your team in, it will pull your exact league scoring settings. It will adjust based on your league settings. It will treat a different, it'll spit out a different result for a start 7, one quarterback league than it will for a start 13 super flex 12 team versus an 8 team or whatever. So this is the best trade calculator out there on the market. It is by far the best one you're going to find because it's the only one that adjusts to your league settings. And I'm going to send out an offer for Malik Nabers here. So Malik Nabers for Justin Jefferson, essentially it says fair trade. Now, going back to what I said at the beginning of the video, you want to send out really good trade offers. Now, this is a fair trade, so I'm going to send him Justin Jefferson for Malik Nabers straight. And again, I'm recording this a couple days in advance. When I send out the offer, if I get something done, it'll pop up on the screen essentially right now. But I'd be willing to pay a little small plus on top of Justin Jefferson. Like, for example, if he wanted Parker Washington too, because I'm looking to offload a guy like Parker Washington. I don't really view Parker Washington as a significant asset, but he's a competitive team. He might want Parker Washington. He might want that extra firepower at wide receiver. It is a best ball league too, so a guy like Parker Washington, you never have to choose when to start. Maybe instead of Parker Washington, he would want J.K. Dobbins, who is a guy that I'd be looking to shed off my roster anyway. So that's essentially the type of offer I would send out to try and get Justin Jefferson off my team to try and get younger, because Malik Nabers fits my build better, right? I have Lemon and Harrison and Worthy and all these younger guys. I'm not looking to compete right away. This time, a calendar year from now, Justin Jefferson might be worth around less of startup ADP, a 2028 first, less of overall trade value if he doesn't have a great season. So I'm trying to offload that risk, get Justin Jefferson off my team. Same goes for Patrick Mahomes. Now, Patrick Mahomes, because he's coming off of an injury, might be harder to sell to a contending team. And also, he actually does fit my build a little bit better because we know he's going to be in the league for a long time because he's a quarterback. But That being said, let's see if I can get younger from Patrick Mahomes. So we're going to look around to some of these teams. Maybe that could use a quarterback. I mean, Ron definitely not in a great quarterback situation, but he doesn't have somebody I'd really be interested in. Looking around, I mean, Danny's got some competitive quarterbacks. Doc with Jordan Love and some of these guys here. Looking around to Notorious, he's got Joe Burrow, who's a competitive quarterback. Then we look at Shano. He's got Bo Nix, Fernando Mendoza, and Tyler Shuck. Like, for example, Fernando Mendoza definitely fits my build better, but it looks like he is going towards more of a rebuild type of strategy here. So I don't think he's going to be willing to part with any of these guys. Maybe I could go to the contending juggernaut type of guys and see if any of them are interested in trading for Patrick Mahomes. For example, Marco's team. In very great shape, obviously, right? He's got a great team. He's looking to compete right away. Maybe he'd be willing to part with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he views Patrick Mahomes on a higher level as Trevor Lawrence. I also, like, you know, he doesn't have a third quarterback. I don't really have a third quarterback to offer him. If I had one, I probably would. But maybe he'd be interested in some of my ancillary pieces like Parker Washington or like J.K. Dobbins or something like that. So I'm going to see what I can do. Let's just see what it's like for Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence. Now, it says I'm slightly losing because Mahomes goes higher in Dynasty Startup ADP. So would he, in this situation, be willing to give me Trevor Lawrence in a 27 first if I gave him, and again, keep in mind his first is going to be probably late because he's a juggernaut in this league. It says I'm slightly winning in this situation. If I give him Parker Washington and I give him J.K. Dobbins, would this trade kind of balance out? And it does. It's like a perfectly fair trade. So I'm going to send out this offer to him as well because I really want to get a trade across the finish line in this league because, as I said previously, this league is a league where I don't really need to do anything. Like, I could wait and see what happens. I could, you know, wait to offload a Parker Washington, wait to offload, you know, a J.K. Dobbins or something like that. But when you're in this position and you're a young team trying to build a competitive roster that can become a juggernaut or a Thanos one day, sometimes it's better to strike while the iron's hot, which is why I'm trying to move off of Justin Jefferson, why I'm trying to move off of Patrick Mahomes and these types of guys, because if something goes wrong for them, they're going to lose market value. And I don't want a 30-year-old or a 31-year-old quarterback on my team that just lost a lot of market value on a team that's not ready to compete right away. I don't want a 28-year-old receiver this time next year who just lost a lot of market value on my team if I'm not ready to compete right away. I would much rather have Malik Nabers. I would much rather have a younger player in that situation. So we're just going to skim through the rest of the rosters here, and I'm going to sort by contending here. And this is one of my favorite tools on the site because ideally, if you're going to trade away competitive assets, yes, you can trade away a Justin Jefferson to the top team in the league, but the top team in the league, if you get rookie picks from them, is going to have a late pick. So what you want to do instead, if you're trading a guy like Justin Jefferson, in my case, is you want to go to the teams that are on the fringe because those are the teams that are looking to make a move more often than not to try and become competitive. So again, that's why I went to Garrett's team and made the trade for Malik Nabers. Let's look at Andrew's team again. He might be looking at his team thinking, okay, if I just get another running back, if I just get another wide receiver, I can compete in this league. So I'm going to look at his team and see if I can craft a deal around him. He's the one I made the Ty Simpson deal with. So I already have a decent trade relationship with this manager. So if I'm in his shoes, again, that's what we're always going to do when we're sending out trade offers. He wants a running back, right? He's a young team. So he probably wants Henderson or Tootin from me, if I'd have to imagine. And maybe he'd be interested in Jefferson as well. So I'm going to go to the trade calculator here. I'm going to probably pause to try and workshop some stuff, but let's try and work out a deal involving one of my running backs, maybe involving Justin Jefferson or another one of my receivers as well, just because I do think there's something here. Maybe he's interested in Parker Washington or some of these other guys. So let's try and workshop a trade with Andrew here. All right, so this is the offer I've kind of crafted together. Now, again, this is why it's important to listen to your league mate's perspective and, you know, send out an initial offer that they might accept. So if Andrew is of the opinion that he can compete now, because like I said, when you go back and look at his team, he's seventh in contending value. He's technically a balanced team. If he made a couple of moves, maybe he could be competitive. Now, I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, I want to rebuild some more. We're going to send out this offer and see what happens. Now, from my perspective, I move off of Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's an older asset. You know, we don't know how much longer he has left of peak market value, not competitive. He's obviously going to be very good for a long time, but peak market value. We're going to send out an offer essentially of tiering sideways from Justin Jefferson to Brock Bowers. And in exchange for getting off of Brock Bowers, he might be looking for a tight end. So I'm going to give him back Tyler Warren, Bashaud Tootin, Parker Washington and J.K. Dobbins. Keep in mind, this is a half tight end premium league, in exchange for Casey Concepcion, who would no longer fit his build in this situation, but from my perspective, young receiver I can build around, and a mid-first. I think it's about equivalent value to trade a mid-first for Tyler Warren in this format. So it's essentially Casey Concepcion for Tootin, Washington, and Dobbins. And you know what? I think I could even squeeze a second-round pick out of him on top of this. So I'm gonna try and do that as well, because if he's competitive, he might not value this mid-to-late projected second-round pick. So this is the trade offer that I'm going to send to him. He might tell me, I'm not competing, there's no interest that I have in this deal, or maybe he's not interested in certain parts of this deal. Maybe he just wants to make a deal for Tootin, or just wants to make a deal to tear down from Bowers or something like that. So this is going to be my initial offer to him. Now, obviously, I'm giving up a lot. This is not a trade offer that's a fleece deal or whatever. It says fair trade in the calculator. If I sort by my own rankings, it might even say something different. In my own rankings, it still says fair trade. So it's not really any different in my opinion. But when I sort by rebuilding, this is a win for me, right? I'm a rebuilding team. I'm trying to get rebuilding assets. So that's why it's important to understand and use the rebuilding contender tags to make these deals here. So looking back at this team that I have here, there's a number of different moves I can make. I've outlined just a couple of them. My goal is to turn this team from, yeah, it's pretty decent, to, oh my God, that's a juggernaut. So that's what I'm trying to do in this league. And hopefully I gave you guys some good advice for your own leagues. We're going to pivot over to a different league of mine now. We're going to go to Tone Setter Truthers. Now, the league that I just talked about was a house money team, right? A team that, you know, it could compete if things break right, but you're probably a one-year punt type of team. This team is in a different situation. This team is a team that lost in the semifinals off of a Brock Purdy interception, who I eventually traded after that. I've won the championship in this league before. I've been competitive in this league for four straight years, and I won the championship 2 years ago. Now, some people might look at this team. I have 227 firsts, relatively speaking, a pretty competitive shell or competitive build. I could easily sell, say, those 227 firsts for a hammer wide receiver. I could sell those 227 firsts for another hammer running back or whatever the case is. But I'm looking at this league a little bit differently. When I sort by contending value, I'm number five in the analyzer. It does list me as a strong contender, but Danny has a juggernaut. AJ is all in, has a bunch of great assets. Fletsky is in a really good situation as well. Jay Metal's kind of coming out of a rebuild. His team's starting to show some signs of life. He's a little weak at receiver, but everywhere else he's in good shape. So what I think my best course of action is with this team is to potentially make one or two moves to see what my league market is telling me, because I think this team could go either way. I could try and compete again, or I could tear it down and punt for a year. So when you look at my roster, the glaring strength is quarterback. I have Drake May and Justin Herbert as my starters. Reasonably, I don't need Baker Mayfield. I don't need Malik Willis. I don't even need Ty Simpson. In the rookie draft, I took Ty Simpson at 110 because there was nothing else available. I wasn't going to take Jonah Coleman over him, and I tried like hell to trade down from this pick and pivot into second round capital or future firsts or whatever the case was. So what I need to do right now, first and foremost, is try and move a quarterback asset. So I'm going to do what we do on the site here, is we sort by quarterback, right? I'm number one in the league in quarterback. What I need to do is decide, okay, am I going to move Mayfield, Willis, Simpson, whatever? I can move Mayfield to a competitive team, Willis to a competitive team, Simpson to a rebuilding team. Or if I really wanted to, I could sell one of Drake May or Justin Herbert straight for a wide receiver or running back of similar value. So we're going to explore all avenues here. To me, this is the initial move with a roster like this, because again, I could also say, okay, I'm not competing, I'm going to sell ETN, Javonte Williams. But the only way I'm going to know if I'm competing or not, in my opinion, is once I sell one of these quarterbacks. Because if I get picks for that quarterback, I'm probably rebuilding. If I get a competitive asset for that quarterback, I'm probably contending again. So the number 12, 11, 10 teams in quarterback, we're going to be sending out offers. And spoiler alert, I've already offered a lot of these guys, some of these quarterbacks this offseason. So a lot of these trade discussions might be going back to the well with some of these players, but we're going to do it anyway. So Skoll Canada here, he's a pipsqueak. He doesn't really have anything going for him. I would imagine the only quarterback on my roster that he'd be interested in is Ty Simpson. However, he doesn't really have any need to trade me any of his picks. So maybe I can work out a deal involving Bashel Tootin for Ty Simpson, right? Ty Simpson, young franchise-ish quarterback that he could build around. Maybe Bashel Tootin is somebody that he views as risky, and I can try and sell off Bashel Tootin. So I'm going to work out a trade for him. Again, if I get it. A quick reminder that today's video podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the best place to play this best ball summer. All you do is draft. There's no waivers, there's no trades, no in-season management. You just draft your teams, get refined for your home redraft leagues, and collect your winnings at the end of the year. $2 million and $15 million in total prizes to the first place winner of Best Ball Mania 7. Definitely something we are max entering. We are very excited to get refined for our own home leagues, and we want you to join us. Using our promo code FSE at sign up and first deposit on Underdog and first play on Underdog, we'll get you our redraft rankings manifesto, our draft guide, and our dynasty draft guide for free. That's it. All you have to do is sign up, make a play on the site, and you will get both of our draft guides and our weekly rankings in season to help you with your start-sit decisions for free. Check that out if you guys are interested. Head to Underdog Fantasy and use the promo code FSE at sign up and first deposit. Any deals done, they'll be on the screen. This is the trade that I'm going to cook up. This is the offer I'm going to send him as the initial deal. I'm going to offer him AJ's 27 first, which projects to be late because he's a top three contender, and Ty Simpson for Bashel Tootin and for Romo Dunze. Now, maybe he's going to want an additional second round pick on top of this. Again, it's an initial offer, but I do think from his perspective, he'd be interested in buying a young quarterback because he doesn't have any to build around. And he'd also be interested in the 27 capital. And maybe he's trying to move off of Romo Dunze because of the stress fracture and all that kind of stuff. I get that it says I'm winning. This will be the initial offer. I don't think it's a bad offer by any means, given the state of his team. Pivoting back to the team itself, let's say he says, I don't want a quarterback. I'm not buying anything, whatever. Let's go to Doc. Now, Doc and I have gone back and forth many, many times on buying a quarterback, selling a quarterback. Doc has capital and he's a rebuilding team. I think of all the teams in this league, he might be my best bet to sell, let's say, a Justin Herbert to. Because, again, one of the avenues I can go down instead of selling these lower level quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Malik Willis, Ty Simpson, is I can sell one of my top end quarterbacks. And if I sell one of my top end quarterbacks, then Mayfield just becomes my QB2, Willis and Simpson my QB3 and 4. So because Doc has such great assets on his team, I might try and work out a deal for Justin Herbert here. So let's cook that up. So this is going to be my initial offer to him. His team, if he's looking to just build a strong foundation and maybe pivot off of some of these riskier assets, I think this would appeal to him. Yes, he's giving up Fletz 27 first, but it's expected to be late. He keeps his own first round pick, which I imagine he would want to keep in this situation. And he gives me Zay Flowers, a competitive wide receiver, Sam Laporta, competitive tight end, and I have Kittle coming off of an Achilles tear, so I kind of need that insurance there. And then a 27 late first for Justin Herbert. I can afford to move off of a quarterback. I wouldn't say this is my favorite quarterback deal because I love Justin Herbert this year. I think he could potentially win the MVP of the NFL, but this is an option for me. If things don't work out for selling the other lower level quarterbacks, which I would definitely prefer to do, this is an option to move off of Justin Herbert. If my league mates kind of tell me through the offers that I'm doing that they're not interested in buying my quarterbacks that are of lower value. So again, that's an option for me. Off of Doc here, we look to S. Bears. Now, S. Bears is in more of a competitive position. I think he would be my best bet to sell a Malik Willis or a Baker Mayfield to because Cam Ward's unproven, right? Cam Ward's not the type of player that you look at and you go, okay, this is the player I'm going to, you know, hitch my wagon to. He's going to be a top-tier quarterback asset for me. So I'm going to cook up a deal where I'm giving up some competitive assets, including Baker Mayfield, maybe a running back or a wide receiver, and I'm getting a lot of capital in return for S. Bears here, because as a purgatory team, I kind of want to target a player like this because his picks could end up being early to mid if things don't go well for him. All right, so this is the trade I was able to cook up with him. Now, in this situation, I'm moving off my quarterback to try and get rebuilding assets. Now, I don't really know what the best course of action for me is going to be because of this league environment, but maybe S. Bears is like, hey, if I get another receiver, better quarterback too, etc., I can compete in this league. So I send him an offer of Baker Mayfield, Travis Etienne, get another running back, Garrett Wilson, get another receiver, Chris Godwin, get another receiver. So now all of a sudden he has, you know, three or four, five good receivers. He gets Travis Etienne at running back, who's going, you know, in the third, fourth round of Underdog drafts. He gets Baker Mayfield. And in exchange, he gives me Tucker Kraft and two ones. Now, I would value them as mid ones because I think even after this move, he would probably be about fifth, sixth, seventh in contending value. But I do see some downside risk with his team, whereas from my perspective, I would maybe want to buy his capital. So I'll send out this offer too. We'll see what happens. And we'll see what ends up getting done. Again, anything that gets done, I will flash on the screen. All right. And then the last guy that I'm going to reach out to here is Caleb. And I don't know what direction he wants to go with his quarterback core, but I could see him going either way, from going all the way up and buying a Justin Herbert to getting a third cheap quarterback. So he already has Geno Smith. He might not be interested in my offer with Geno and Deshaun Watson on his bench, but I'm going to send him out an offer involving Malik Willis and trying to get something back in return that may be a cheaper asset that I can buy on the low, or maybe I could even just go after his 28 first and give him a couple of different things. So that's what I'm going to cook up here, because I do think he probably views his team as competitive. It does say purgatory on the analyzer, so I think going after his 28 first is probably a sharp move on my part. All right, so this is the offer I'm going to send him, where he would be giving me his 2028 projected mid to late first. But from my perspective, obviously, there's some upside that it goes up in value. And I give him Malik Willis, who gives him a better third quarterback from a production angle. And I give him Chris Godwin, who's a better receiver production piece than he would have at this point in time behind, you know, Terry McLaurin and Amon-Ra St. Brown and those types of guys. So we'll see what happens. I could also maybe up the ante a little bit if I wanted to go after, say, Omar Cooper Jr. As a young asset that he might not be as interested in. I could even maybe try and pivot Kittle into Fannin, where Kittle's more productive, Fannin's more of a rebuilding type of guy. Maybe I'll send out an offer involving that too. Again, any offers I will flash on the screen here, but this is just going to be my initial offer to him, gauging if he's trying to compete or if he's trying to rebuild. And let's move on to the last league that we have here. All right, so actually I lied. There's going to be two more leagues that we go through, but this one is a really interesting one. So if I sort by dynasty, you can see that I'm number two in the analyzer. However, Caleb has a Thanos, and this is an absolute wagon in which I don't think I'm ever going to be able to beat. So this is a challenging position to be in any dynasty league, because when you have a bunch of pipsqueaks at the bottom and you have one guy that took advantage of most of those pipsqueaks, and honestly, in Caleb's defense, just hit on a lot of his rookie picks. Like, I know he drafted Bijan and Gibbs and JSN, which is insane when you think about it, in one rookie draft to get those three players. I have a good team. Like, you look at the team and you go, oh, that's a good roster. If he wasn't in my league, I think I could definitely compete with a team like this. But I do want to stay young with this team. And to me, there's one move glaring that sticks out, and it's Chris Olave. Now, it might be challenging to sell Chris Olave right this second, because Chris Olave is dealing with this like blood clot issue, which, if you guys watch the injury video, Doc put a rationale to the whole Chris Olave situation. Essentially, what his opinion was if he's cleared for training camp, it's a non-issue. But if things start to pop up during training camp, that's kind of an issue there. So if you sort by contending value, you can see that I'm actually number six in the analyzer, which is not good, because again, there's a Thanos in this league. There's a couple of other teams that have better contending value than I do. I'm a young team. So what I think is the best course of action for this squad is to maybe pivot this one more year, and maybe I can pivot Chris Olave into a younger asset, because this team is probably more so ready to compete in 2027 than it is this year. Now, obviously anything can happen. We'll see what happens here. But you look at my team, you got Tedaro McMillan still pretty young, Quinshon coming off an injury, Genty's got a rookie quarterback. Like, this is not the type of team that's ready to go right away. So what I'm going to do is try and pivot Chris Olave into a young running back of similar value or draft capital. So that's going to be the basis of many of my offers. Let's sort by contending and see who could use a receiver asset. Some of these guys that are in purgatory, again, are going to be who we want to target. This guy just nowhere near competing. Again, a lot of these guys are pretty exploitable in trades, but I think this guy's learned his lesson. Malik Nabers would be great for my team. I can't imagine this guy thinks he's competing. He also has Jackson Dart and Bo Nix and those type of guys, so he probably wants to hold on to Nabers. This guy maybe could talk himself into being competitive. So let's see if we can work out a deal involving Chris Olave and, let's say, Trevion Henderson, who would fit my team build a little bit more. So I'll pivot over to the calculator, and let's see if we can work something out there. This guy, I think, would be interested in Chris Olave, but I can't get a running back in return from him, because all he really has is Trevion Henderson and Harvey and Brooks. If he can copium himself into thinking that this is a great running back core to compete, and if he added Chris Olave, he can compete at receiver, maybe I could go after this guy's capital. I don't think I'm going to get running back production from him. Let's work out a trade involving his capital here. So I'm going to go after his first and second for Chris Olave, because, again, I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he thinks he can compete with one more great receiver. He might tell me to pound sand because he doesn't think he can win, which is obviously good advice because of that Thanos that's at the top of this league. But maybe I can get a deal done for Chris Olave. So he's an option. Sexy Pats, of course, I know confidently he knows what he's doing. I don't really see a deal here where he'd be wanting Chris Olave, but He does have some young receivers that I would be interested in if I could pivot Chris Olave into Mekhi Lemon, who I don't think he's super high on. Let's work out a deal involving that. Maybe I can just pivot Chris Olave into Mekhi Lemon, and then he fits my build a little bit better. So based on my own rankings, I'm actually winning this deal. Based on the expert rankings, Olave is valued higher. So I'm actually fine sending this straight one for one and taking the risk. Obviously, the Mekhi Lemon's never played in the NFL, and Chris Olave is obviously a proven stud and that kind of thing. That might be my initial offer to him. Because I think he would accept this if he thinks he's in a competitive window. But again, he might not think that way. This is a challenging league. Like I said, anytime you're navigating like a Thanos at the top of the league, everybody who's paying attention will understand that it's challenging to get deals done and whatnot. Like, this guy could be on my radar as well, but he already dealt his first. I don't think he's going to be a reasonable trade partner for me. I suppose one thing I could do with this JT Went guy, and I'll actually cook this up right now, is maybe because he's so strong at running back and so weak at wide receiver, he would be willing to do Chris Olave for Breece Hall. Essentially one for one, where they're valued basically the same in my rankings. If I go to expert rankings, I'm sure it's actually, I'd be losing this trade. So maybe he'd give me something on top of Breece Hall as my initial offer. Would he give me his 27 mid to late projected second on top of Breece Hall to get Chris Olave? Now, it says I'm still slightly losing, but when I go to my own rankings, I'm slightly winning, so I'm actually comfortable sending out this offer. Again, from his perspective, given that the experts are on the side of the other portion of it, he should be accepting this offer, I would imagine. For most people, Olave is valued higher, but given the injury concern, maybe this is about a fair deal. So I'm going to send him that offer as well. Again, any deals that I get done, I will flash on the screen. This league is very challenging to navigate because of that Thanos at the top, but I want to better position myself, my winning window, into 2027, into 2028, where I can continue to collect value, continue to collect capital, and build out a really, really strong competitive roster. Because if I'm the clear second best team in the league by 27 and by 28, then I can always win the championship. However, I can't be like the fifth best contending team in the league and win the championship against the Thanos, which is exactly the position I'm in right now. So there's going to be one more league that we're going to go into. It is a Devi league, but I'm not going to get into the weeds of all the Devi stuff. We're just going to kind of talk about the dynasty implications of this league. But I am going to use a Devi player to send out a lot of my offers. All right, so Devi Degeneracy. Now, you can see that I have the all-in label. Now, the reason I have the all-in label is due in part to the fact that the rookie picks are different because it's a Devi league. The scoring format for this league is also a best ball league. The other Satoshi's Vision and Tone Setter Truthers were both managed, 12 teams, super flex, half tight end, premium, all the usual suspect, scoring formats that we use. This one is a Devi league. So you get four or five Devis at the beginning of the league. And those are players that are still in college, for those of you guys that don't know what Devi means. And then the rookie draft is depleted. So there's going to be whoever's slips through the cracks of the Devi draft will be in the rookie draft still. Like, for example, I believe Fridarian Price wasn't picked up. So you'll get a couple of good assets every year, but you probably need to have a top 3 to 4 overall rookie pick for it to be a first round rookie pick asset from a non-depleted standpoint. So this one, 12-man, super flex, half tight end, premium, PPR, like all the others. It is a best ball league, and I have won the league in back-to-back years. So this league's been around for 2 seasons. I've won both times. So this is a team in which I'm already freeballing a lot of the prize money because I've won it twice. And in best ball, you can see why. I mean, St. Brown, Collins, Higgins, McConkey, Flowers, DJ Moore, Michael Wilson with the Linsanity run he went on this year. I go all the way down to like Troy Franklin, really, who are guys that are hitting my lineup in a best ball format. At tight end, I'm a little weaker, especially after the Kittle injury. And then at running back, again, there's guys that hit my lineup. Breece Hall, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Chuba Hubbard, Jordan Mason, Tony Pollard, etc. Even, Kamani Vidal, Sean Tucker, and Alvin Kamara contributing. And then at quarterback, I'm a little bit weaker. So when I evaluate this roster, I look at the team and go, okay, I could use another hammer running back. I could use maybe an upgrade at quarterback 3 or an upgrade at quarterback period. So knowing that I've won the league in back-to-back years and knowing that I expect to be yet another contending competitive team as the number one in contending value. So again, I'm number 6 in dynasty value. And when you include Devi's, which the site obviously is not including, I'm even less than that in overall dynasty value because some people have, Jeremiah Smith in their Devi pool and I don't have players like that. But I'm number 1 in contending value still. I'm going for the three-peat. I've never three-peated in a dynasty league. I'm going for it. So what I want to do is take one of my Devi players, which is Ahmad Hardy, running back from Mizzou. For those of you guys that follow college football, he was the one who was recently shot, but he is
kind of currently projected as the number one, number two, number three running back in the 27 class. Now, he would be great to add to my team, but I want to win again. So what I want to do is there's plenty of teams in this league that are just tearing it down, collecting as many Devy assets as humanly possible so that they can build this God squad of young players. Now, the way that I play Devy's a little differently than some people. I look at it this way. A traditional rookie first in a non-Devy league has like a 50% hit rate. And that's with all that research, all that in-depth draft prep and, you know, fully developed rookie profile and that kind of thing. 50% hit rate. Rookie seconds, 30 to 40%. Again, draft eligible players only, all that prep, all that research. We know the 40 times, we know the measurables, etc. A third is like a 10 to 15% chance, and a fourth is like a 5 to 10% chance. Taking a player that's like a true freshman in college football right now is a total crapshoot, in my opinion. Beyond like the Jeremiah Smith, Malachi Toney types who have these outstanding freshman seasons, that's so hard to predict in the long term, which is why I like to compete in a lot of the Devy leagues that I'm in, because I find that people overvalue the hit rate of Devy assets. And that's coming from me, a person who has a prospect model who should have an advantage hypothetically in these types of formats. I've loaded all the 27 players in already, but you get Ollie Gordons, you get Nick Singletons, you get Kayshawn Booties, you get Drew Aulers and Cade Klubnicks and DJ Uiagalelei, who flash as true freshmen or true sophomores or whatever, and then don't even become like second round rookie pick type of assets, let alone hit in the NFL. So Ahmad Hardy is currently at a value of probably about a mid first round pick, a 27 mid first. People would expect Ahmad Hardy to be drafted in that territory. And I actually sold him already in another league for Mekhi Lemon and CJ Stroud. Both of them. Yes, I got both of them for Ahmad Hardy. So that kind of gives you an idea of the thirst in Devy to hit on the next great player. So in this very league, I expect to be able to get a good value for Ahmad Hardy if I can sell him to one of these, you know, rebuilding teams. So let's sort by rebuilding. We see Danny here with Genty and Hampton. He's got a big Devy pool himself. You see Fletsky here. We actually haven't had the depleted rookie draft yet. So Danny is also going to be adding, you know, Fernando Mendoza or, you know, Jadarian Price, whoever the top available rookie is. I believe it's those two guys. All right. So I was able to kind of find some of the teams that might be interested in doing a deal like this. Danny is Devy obsessed. I know he loves Amarian Hampton and Ashton Genty, but I bet if I give him Ahmad Hardy plus for some of these players, and I think obviously the ceiling of Ahmad Hardy is turning into either one of these guys, so I'd be willing to pay that, no doubt. Maybe he would be willing to part with one of them because he's trying to, you know, rebuild still. He has a huge Devy pool. We're going to work out a trade involving my co-host here and see if we can get something done. All right, so this is what I'm going to offer Danny. Now, again, I can't put the Devy picks in the trade calculator, which is challenging, so I'm going to try and equate them. I'm going to offer him Ahmad Hardy, which I equate to about a mid-first of value. I'm going to offer him my Devy pick next year, my Devy first-round pick next year. Again, it should probably be somewhere between 109 and 112, considering I've won the league in back-to-back seasons. I would equate this to about an early to mid second of value in a regular rookie draft, but I know Danny will equate it to about a late first in value. So that's why I use that. And then I'm going to give him my 612, which is my third round pick in Devy draft this year. So I'm going to give him those three assets. He gets a young Devy running back. He gets a future Devy first round pick and also a Devy third round pick this year. And honestly, I'm willing to give him more than that. So let me give him my Devy second round pick next year, which, again, I would probably equate to like a third round rookie pick regularly. So that's what I'm going to offer him for Amarian Hampton. Now, I did actually trade him Amarian Hampton in the first place, but maybe he's looking to just continue to punt this league and build up more Devy assets. So that's what I'm going to offer Danny. Then I'm going to look at Caleb here. Now, Caleb has a huge Devy portfolio of like 10 players, and a lot of them are really good. So I think he might be willing to part with some of these players that are more like competitive assets and continue his rebuilding kind of strategy. At 104, I think he'll probably get a decent player there, like maybe like an Omar Cooper or something like that in the depleted rookie draft. So I'm going to go after Kyren Williams, Javonte, and Kyle Pitts. I want to see if he's willing to part with some of these guys because I could use the production of Kyren Williams, Javonte Williams, and Kyle Pitts in a pretty big way. So let's see what I can come up with here. So I'm going to offer him essentially exactly what I just offered Danny for Amarian Hampton. Instead of just getting Amarian Hampton, I'm going to get two running backs in a best ball league that can hit my lineup. I'm going to get Kyle Pitts, who can help me a lot at tight end because George Kittle is my only real starter at this point in time, and he's coming off an Achilles tear. And in exchange, I'm going to give him Ahmad Hardy, the asset, right? I would imagine someone who's of Caleb's build and of Caleb's strategy would value Ahmad Hardy probably almost as much as these two running backs combined, if not, you know, one and a half of these two running backs. Then I'm going to offer him my Devy first round pick in 2027 and my Devy second round pick in 2027. Again, it's 3 years into the league. It's depleted a little bit. And then I'm going to offer him my Devy 612 in this year's class, which is a third round Devy pick. So I'm going to offer him all that for Kyle Pitts, Javonte Williams, and Kyren. In my situation, I mean, I just continue adding competitive assets. In his situation, he gets a proven, legitimate RB1 overall candidate in the rookie class next year and a bunch of other Devy picks, and we'll see what happens from that offer. And then the final guy I'm going to send an offer to here is Riley Bush here. He's got Devon Achane and Bashel Touton. I actually traded him Bashel Touton in this league, which kind of sucks, but I did get Derrick Henry in return for him, who helped me win the championship with his monster week 17, so I can't be too mad about it. Maybe I'll go after Devon Achane and see if he'd be inclined to sell him, because he has 9 or 10 Devy players. I'm sure he'd be interested in adding more. He has the 102 in the rookie draft. He's probably going to add, you know, Price or Mendoza or whoever is. I guess he has Mendoza on his team already. So he's probably going to add like Price or Ty Simpson or Cooper, whoever the best available depleted Devy players are. So I'm going to send out an offer for him with Devon Achane involved. Okay, reasonably, I could probably just send him the exact same deal that I sent for Hampton, but I'm going to shave the Devy 612 off of it in this year's class. So I'm essentially just giving him my rookie or my Devy 1 next year, my Devy 2 next year, and Ahmad Hardy for Devon Achane. In his situation, he should probably be willing to accept something like that. Again, any deals that get done, I will flash on the screen. That should do it for us here, folks. That I know the Devy stuff was probably confusing for a lot of people, which is why I put it at the end, but you know, some of you guys maybe care about that. And the whole video was essentially about trade strategy and trade advice. Any deals that got sent through and accepted throughout the duration of this video will be in the video. And you guys can see, I'll throw them all on the screen one more time in rapid succession to show you the deals that ended up getting done. Some of them, I don't know because I'm recording this ahead of time, are going to be exactly what I sent out. Some of them are probably going to be different deals entirely. So that is the point of this video. Again, to recap the four tips to get more deals done. Essentially, what you want to do is put yourself in your league mate's shoes. What are they looking to do? Are they a rebuilding team? Are they a contending team? Use the free tools on the site to determine how well they can rebuild or compete. And then also make sure you're sending out good offers, maybe 10, 20% more than you want to send on that initial offer. Send follow-up messages. Be honest. Explain your thought process. You will see in this video, as I put screenshots of our conversations on the screen, that I am very transparent. In the DMs, I'm saying, hey, don't know if you're looking to compete or not. This is my offer. I don't know if you're looking to rebuild or not, or if you're looking to buy a quarterback or not. These are my offers. I'm going to send messages like that with every single offer I sent out. I almost never send out an offer that is just an offer. I send out an offer with rationale of why I sent it. And the reason I do that is because even if I'm wrong about their team assessment, or even if they disagree with my team assessment, they understand where I'm coming from. And that's important, because then they can go, oh, he thinks I'm a rebuilding team. I didn't think I was a rebuilding team. Sometimes they look back at their team and they go, you're right, I probably should rebuild. And one more time, use the free tools on the site. Now, if you want to get my specific opinion on your teams, obviously that is a paid feature. You can sign up on flockfantasy.com using promo code FSE. You'll get a free Dynasty Decisions 2.0 when you sign up, which means that if you have a team in dire need of some help, you want to get some trades done, more people get more trades done with Dynasty Decisions 2.0s than probably any feature out there. Now, I haven't tested that theory, but I imagine since we've released the product, which was earlier in May, we've had so many of you guys get so many trades done. You guys seem to really be responding well to the new product that we have, Dynasty Decisions 2.0. And again, you can get one for free. Whatever your most dire Dynasty team situation is, you can submit that team when you sign up for an annual Mother Flocker, get me or Danny to submit a Dynasty Decisions 2.0 for you. Both of us will workshop your team, tell you if you're a rebuilder, tell you if you're a contender, the moves that we would make on the stream, and then send you that within a week after the stream with your three biggest moves, your plan of action. And again, the free features, if you don't want to, you know, pay for a subscription, you can sign up flockfantasy.com, promo code FSE. You can see your whole portfolio. Like I said, go through your teams, see where you stack up, both from a rebuilding perspective and a contending perspective. See how your league mates stack up, how you stack up at quarterback, at running back, at wide receiver, at tight end, in rookie pick capital. All that good stuff is available to you. And of course, the trade calculator, totally customizable to your league. It will give you a different response based on the league settings that you have. You can go into custom mode. You can say, my league is a half PPR, non-tight end premium, 8-team league, 1 quarterback league. All of that stuff is going to factor into the analysis that you get from the trade calculator. You can also, if you're trying to buy JSN for Puka Nacua or whatever, you can also hit find similar trades and see other trades that involve those players. You can hit the explain trade feature, which will tell you, hey, once you link your team, you are a, here, actually, I'll just show you really quick. So I'll do flocked up. We'll hit the explain trade feature on me buying Josh Allen for JSN. as an example. It's going to say, based on the expert rankings, this trade's nearly even. Your team is a strong contender, blah, blah, blah. It'll tell you exactly what your team will look like after you make the trade, which is often very encouraging. Because if it tells you you're a strong contender, this trade will make you a juggernaut, that's important. You're a juggernaut, this team will make you a Thanos. That's important. Your team is a pipsqueak, this will make you a strong rebuilder. That stuff's all important. So definitely check out all those features. Again, appreciate you guys for tuning into this video. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new around here. And comment down below any of your thoughts. Check out the pinned comment for all the offers. Like I said, peace out. I'll talk to you soon.